gather round, it's time for the big pen. Hold down, kick out your heels, jump up and down, shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the big pen, hold down, gotta have a holler you can trust.
Nay.
Oink.
Woof. Big Ben time, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, Danny.
Must be a really long line of sponsors. Go ahead, David.
Nay. Nay.
Yeah.
Ticket stock.
Sad.
Yeah.
This is a special winter mix freeze edition of the Pig Pen. We were talking about historically in this area, when we had had some really hardcore freeze temperatures. And I believe, Corby, you mentioned the year 1989 as being one of them.
December 22nd and 23rd, I believe, were back-to-back days of minus 1 and 0, or minus 2 and minus 1.
Okay.
So, for all intents and purposes, the coldest it's been since this week.
Okay, that would have found me at the ripe old age of 20 years old.
Okay.
1989, is that right? 89. Yeah, I think that's right. Nope, yeah. 21. Oh my gosh. Anyway.
Legal.
Yeah, I would have been 21. So I was old enough to go to bars. Now, I didn't go to bars. I was much probably like you, that if there was any drinking going on, it happened, you know, at a friend's house or somebody got a keg.
Right.
Never really had a real go hang out at a bar for 2 or 3 hours with your friends, run up a tab.
I didn't have the money.
Yeah, I did not have the money.
Maybe get caught up in a federal gambling ring?
Look, it was a long time ago, okay?
Okay. Well,
that did not happen to me. The story also coincides, and I know that I've told a couple of stories about this particular car that I owned around that time. It was a 67 Plymouth Valiant. It was the car, I've told the story about the night that in the winter, it might have been that same winter, that me and my buddy Dan went trash can smashing in people's alleys and ran over the gas meter.
Yeah.
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 And had to call the gas company and anonymously report that a gas meter was laying on its side and natural gas was spewing out of somebody's pipe on Christmas Eve.
God, dude.
I think I told the story once about the friend of ours that we gave a ride home once, and it had the car had a hole in the back floorboard, and her purse flipped over, and all of her money went out of the hole.
And wasn't she a stripper?
Uh-huh.
And she had a lot of ones?
A lot of them flying down 635, just hundreds of dollars in ones just emitting from underneath our car, this car
you know,
that I had.
Every time I hear you tell one of these dumb stories, I think about me who got caught for everything that I ever did. You never got caught for anything.
Never. Well, I mean, nothing that ended up in any type of legal situation.
Yeah.
I've never been arrested, if you can believe that.
Wow. My parents always caught me.
Mm-hmm.
A principal always caught me. Someone always caught me.
So this car was storied, man. My buddy Dan owned this car for a long time. And at some point in the summer of 89, I bought that car from him. And I paid $500 for it. It was, like I said, a 67 Plymouth. It had a 318 V8 in it. It was really fast, but it didn't have a straight piece of metal on it. We called it the Thrasher. So one night, I had gotten off work at Pizza Inn, I believe, and a guy that worked there with me, his name was Barry, and he was older. He was probably like 24, 25, something like that, and he says, hey, man, do you want to go to the bar? I was like, yeah, I guess. And at that point, I was making pretty good money, and I thought, yeah, I'll join Barry for a couple of drinks. We end up going to this TGI Fridays that was right up kind of near where you live on Skillman and 635. I don't even know if it's still there.
It is not.
For the longest time, there was a TGI Fridays there. And we ended up sitting there when it was 0 degrees outside. And
so it was one of those 2 days of
It was
awful.
One of those 2 days. And I remember earlier that day, my friend Dan, who had sold me the car, said, hey, dude, make sure that you have antifreeze in your radiator and it's not just water. If just go ahead and drain the radiator and just fill it up with a gallon of antifreeze, that way your engine won't crack and you know all that, you'll be fine. I said, yeah, no problem, I will do that. Well, we ended up hanging out. Me and this guy, Barry, ended up hanging out at this bar for about 3 hours. And at the time, I had never drank this much in my life. I wasn't driving, thankfully. And I rang up a bar tab of $45 in 1989.
I'm trying to think, at a Chili's or a Friday's, they're not going to be running up. The drink prices aren't that high either, are they?
No. But maybe if you got something expensive, it was $5.
Yeah.
So, I had no experience with ordering like drinks, and he was. So we're not only having shots, but he's like, "Yeah, let's do a gin and tonic." Okay, how about a Manhattan?
How about a Tom Collins?
I mean, it was the mixture of everything all together, and it was so bad that we had to get somebody from a payphone to come pick us up and take us back to the apartment. That he lived in a neighboring apartment and took me home, and I don't remember really anything about getting home, falling asleep, waking up the next day. But I'll tell you what I did forget. I forgot to put antifreeze in the 67 Plymouth Valiant.
Oh.
I wake up the next day, and my friend Dan had called me that morning and left a message. And I called him back, and he said, "Did you put antifreeze in your car?" I said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "Oh, crap, I'm on my way over." So we go out, and we look at the car, and it's frozen solid. The radiator's frozen solid. He said, "Well, it may not have gotten all the way into your engine block, so let's wait until, you know, it thaws out, and we'll drain it, fill it full of radiator fluid, whatever, but we'll check it." So after a couple of days, it ends up thawing out, and there's on the engine block, there are these little circular things called freeze plugs. And basically, they're holes that are drilled into your engine block that if your engine does freeze, the pressure of the water that's in the block will push out these freeze plugs to alleviate the pressure inside so your block doesn't crack. It's kind of a defense system that right. knocks out these really little thin discs called freeze plugs. It knocks those out. So we got in there and we removed all the freeze plugs, the water just comes out of the block at that point. You don't know if it's cracked. And then he.
By the way, are you freezing at this point? Like working on an engine?
Yeah, it's really cold. I mean, this was a couple of days after, so the temps had gone back up above freezing. Otherwise, there's no point in trying to do this fix. So we end up replacing all the freeze plugs, and they're really thin things. You just get them lined up, and you just take a little mallet and hammer them back in there, and they're set. So here's the moment of truth: we fill up the radiator full of a coolant, and it's holding. And I'm like, "All right, I think we're in the clear." Turn on the motor, and in a matter of seconds, you look out underneath the engine block, and there's radiator fluid just pouring out of the engine block.
So it cracked.
So for a $45 bar tab and a night out on the town with Barry, I destroyed the engine block of this vintage 67 Plymouth Valiant, and it made it there was no point in fixing it because the car was not worth what it would have cost to put in a brand new engine in that car. But in retrospect, I wish that I had just replaced the engine, but I ended up just selling it back to him for like $50. And I think, I don't know what happened to that car after that. But not only was my first time ever hanging out in a bar and running up a big boy tab, it cost me my car.
Yeah.
So for like 3 months, I had absolutely no transportation whatsoever. So it just goes on that long list of things that you think back on. It's like, man, my life would have been better had I not been drinking that day.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of times that I would drive somewhere and end up parking somewhere that was a little sketchy,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, yeah, I think I'm cool to park here. And then by the end of the night, which I had planned on leaving my car there anyway, wherever I was, especially when I was in college, just leave it somewhere, I'd walk out and it was towed. And so my night in which I have $5 to buy one pitcher of beer, that's it. That's the extent of the money that I have.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I have to go to tow truck place.
You have to go to Vilbig.
Yeah.
In West Dallas. Trust
right.
me, I know that street all too well.
Right, and pay $184 that you don't have, that you're mm-hmm. calling your sister and friends and everybody else, all because you couldn't walk 30 feet down the road to a legal parking spot.
Right. because you needed to go drinking.
Yeah.
Let me go back, if I could, in the story to the stripper and the ones going down 635.
Okay. Yes.
In the same vehicle.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah, there was a hole in the floorboard in the back, in the back seat.
In the back seat?
Yeah, so you have, it was a two-door, it was a coupe,
yes,
if you will, and, you know, you put the front seat up so you have access to the back seat, and it's a
right.
bench seat in the back, and then the floorboard of the back seat had a hole about maybe 10 centimeters in diameter that you we covered up with a rubber floor mat. So if you stepped on
it,
your foot would go to the concrete and push the floor mat down. So we'd always tell people, it's like, hey, don't step on the floorboard. There's a hole in it. There's a rubber thing, so a mat covering it. But for whatever reason, that night, the wind opened up the floor mat, and her purse tumped over, and all of her money went out through the hole. So we're driving down 635 from European Crossroads to get back to the Skillman area where her place was to give her a ride home. And she gets out, and she's like, where's my money? And we realize that that's what had happened.
It went out the hole.
Went out the hole.
Okay. I guess I was trying to ascertain how one would stay warm on these cold Dallas nights with a hole in their car. but you're saying you guys had a plan for that.
Oh, yeah. We always had a plan. It wasn't necessarily ever a good one. But, yeah, this year, it was really funny. I look at my phone the other night, and it's a text from my buddy. It's like on Sunday night from Dan Newland, and it said, hey, dude, make sure you put antifreeze in your car tonight. Like 30-some-odd years later, he still remembered and reminded me that I needed to make sure that I put antifreeze in the Volvo on Sunday.
Do you remember
night.
What your next car was that you were able to get?
I think it was a 66 Plymouth four-door that I had gotten off of out of Auto Trader for like $600.
Dude, I thought that I had the most beaten down car scene with that car that I had that I inherited from my sister.
That old crappy Mustang?
Yeah, at the very least, that car, which was yellow, painted red by her, except the trunk, when you popped it up, was still yellow on the inside because they just didn't do it. Somehow that thing lasted for like 6 or 7 years through crashes and no oil changes and everything else.
Uh-huh.
You didn't need a key to start it. And this was not before, you know, keyless entry or keyless ignition.
You needed a screwdriver to start it, huh?
It just turned. The thing just turned. You couldn't lock the door. And so any of my friends were like, where's y'all's car? I don't know. There's Corby. Let's just take his. And they would take my car because you didn't need a key to get in it or turn the ignition, and then they would just leave it somewhere else, and then it was like, where's Waldo? Go find Corby's car.
It's like the community bike share, but it's your car.
But you had infinite, and Mike Reiner did too. Your Corby, car stories are so beaten.
Until, I was probably in my late 20s. I drove nothing but what we referred to back then as disposable cars. You would never pay over $1,000 for a car.
Yeah.
It was just not practical. So if you could get 6 months out of a $500 car, man, that's a win, because a car payment would cost you three times that back then. So, yeah, it was always about Auto Trader and having the cash and meeting some guy over in Garland. And in his driveway, and going, yeah, I mean, it runs real good. It leaks a little oil, you know, and stay on top of that. And hell, you can probably get a year out of it. Sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
And then you go rack up thousands of miles delivering pizzas in the damn thing.
Right. You met my friend Barry?
Yeah. Barry likes to drink.
All right. Good stuff, Daniel.
That was an Arctic version of the pig pen.
Well done.
Good stuff.